Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Will you open up your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21? I believe even Travis and Kat being here is a fulfillment of the prophetic word of the Lord for this year about going beyond. You know, when you go somewhere else in life and whenever you go to a new role and a new step in life, oftentimes you need more help, okay? There's a greater weight, there's a greater load to bear and to carry. And I believe Travis and Kat are here in this church body to help not just Pastor Chelsea and I, though I believe they're here to help the body, amen? Help all of us become better, become more like Christ, and to continue to further his kingdom here in Crestview. I know some of y'all are like, we're still going and beyond. And I'm like, yeah, we're still going and beyond. We're just going to keep going beyond and beyond until there's no more beyonding, I guess. I'm not feeling the to infinity and beyond, but I'm feeling the beyond, okay? Are you in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21? We've been in this series beyond, talking about what God's doing in the earth, what God's doing, I believe, in our church. And I really believe, last weekend in our second service, I know a lot of y'all come to our first service, and we're thankful for that. Our second service last weekend, there was a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost that filled the room towards the end of the service. And we just kind of were soaked in the presence of the Lord just for a little bit. I'm telling you, it was a powerful move in that moment. And there was some prophetic utterances, including tongues and interpretation of tongues that took place. And it was just a powerful move of God. And there was some prophetic declarations that were made over our church. And I believe this is all part of it. Now, I want to say this. I had a full different message planned for this week. And the Holy Spirit, there were some things that took place this week. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to speak to this because I'm doing something even here and now. And so I want us to be open to receive this. I'm going to just call it a prophetic proclamation this morning and a prophetic declaration in this message. This whole series has been prophetic in nature. I really believe that this message has a prophetic edge to it that's going to push us and propel us into that next area that God has for us. The Bible says this in Ephesians 3, 20, 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We are in the season of the promise of the beyond. We are believing that we are going to experience beyond our limitations, beyond things that we've known, and into a new season, a new promise. But before we can experience this breakthrough, we must first, you may want to write this down, we got to endure the tension, the challenges, and the adversities that often precede it. In order to embrace the beyond, you have to be able to endure the tension, the challenges, the adversities that often precede it. We know the breakthrough is coming, and we can sense and feel that we are on the cusp to the beyond. And why do we know this? Because this is the prophetic word of the Lord. We are not going to be persuaded otherwise. Just because adversity comes doesn't mean that the beyond is not still imminent. Just because challenges come doesn't mean that the beyond is not imminent. It doesn't mean that the beyond isn't going to take place. It just means that there is some tension that is happening. And before there can be, I'm way ahead of myself, but before anything can break, there has to be tension. If I had a piece of glass up here, the ones that have been here for the weeks and beyond, y'all don't know, I was really thinking about it. I mean, I was like, just get me a nice, like, glove that I could just smash a glass with. How cool would that be? Y'all be like, what in the world? It would also be dangerous, but so I decided not to. I would have had to put out, like, a disclaimer. Please wear protective eyewear and all that. It would have been like a Blue Man show in here. But before glass will break, there has to be what? Tension that takes place. Before something shatters, there has to be a tension. I believe right now, the tension that you may be experiencing, listen, I've said it and I've said it, that anything that takes place corporately does what first? It takes place personally. It takes place individually. So hear me today. the tension that you are experiencing personally, whether it be family tension, whether it be weariness and tiredness. See, because we started the year real strong, January 1, you're like, I'm going all gas, no brakes, baby. And already by March, which is crazy to believe in March, but already by March, we're like, some brakes, a little bit more gas, I don't know what to do. I'm a little tired right now, I'm feeling a little burnout, I'm a little, feeling a little weary. The reason you're feeling that is because that is the evidence that the breakthrough is about to take place, because you've been pushing, you've been prodding, and listen to me, it's just like the enemy to unleash an onslaught of hell against you whenever you are moving forward in destiny. The enemy doesn't care about people who aren't moving. You're not doing anything. The enemy doesn't care about the hamster in the wheel. The enemy don't care about you. You're not moving. You're not doing anything. But the enemy starts looking and taking note of whenever somebody's pushing forward and they're actually going and laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Whenever they're actually moving in what God's called them to do. When they actually begin to step into destiny and purpose. Whenever their marriage starts getting reconciled and they get on the right page. Whenever their kids start showing glimmers and signs that they're coming back to the Lord. Whenever these things start taking place, the enemy starts going, oh no, what are we gonna do? I got to find some sort of way to tempt them. I gotta find some sort of way to bring weariness. I gotta bring some sort of way. Because if they keep on the track they're going, I'm telling you, we are hooked, friend. That's what the enemy's saying. Huh? And as people of God, we've got to be able to realize and recognize with the spirit of discernment whether it is we are actually tired and need rest. Because listen, there is a need for rest. Because we can't be so headstrong and stubborn that we push so hard that we kill ourselves. Did you know that rest is a biblical command? Yes. Yes. I want to obey the word of God, then rest. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to be just like God. Then rest. Take a day and rest. Matter of fact, I ain't going to tell you it's easy, friend, because it's not. I think resting is more difficult than working. For many of us, resting is more. Y'all like to think we like to rest, but you don't actually understand rest. Sabbathing and resting is commanded in the Word of God. God actually examples it in creation. And I tell you what, Pastor Chelsea and I, we're having to get better at this. On Mondays, we generally Sabbath on Mondays because, believe it or not, whether you know this or not, Sundays are the most taxing days of the week for us. So we take our rest day on Monday. We take our Sabbath on Monday, our Shabbat on Monday. And I'm going to tell on my wife for a second. It's past Monday. We had that full weekend, Building Families weekend. And when I say it felt like all of hell broke loose this past weekend, it was ridiculous. I can't get into everything right now. We'll talk about it another time maybe. Or in this message, I'll probably allude to it. But Monday came. And we're going about doing our day, doing the things that we need to do. And I love this lady with all my heart. And she's one of the reasons that our church is as unified and together as it is because of this beautiful woman right here. She does a great job unifying us. I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for what she does for our church. Amen. See, I'm sandwiching. Because on Monday, we're working through things. You know, we went to the gym, did this, and, you know, we're just taking our day. You can still work out on your rest day, okay? Just anything that doesn't bring you joy, okay? That's the kind of the idea of rest. Now, if you don't like working out, then there you go. Don't work out. But she's coming up with all these great ideas for the church on a Monday. Hey, we need to do this on Tuesday. We get to work. We need to make sure we talk about this. I need to set up this counseling point with this person. We were in our kitchen. I looked at her and said, babe, stop. You got to stop. We are rest Shabbat, okay?
Shabbat shalom. Chill. All right? Rest. Because there is a tendency also, though, that we feel like if we're not doing something, if we're not doing something, then I'm not doing the will of the Lord. It is the will of the Lord that you rest. Now, if you become a lazy bumpkin and you're taking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday rest, okay, then we got a problem. You ain't doing nothing. You are doing nothing. But the will of the Lord, God Almighty, the Omnipotent One, is that you rest one day a week. That doesn't mean you don't go to church either. If Sunday's your day off, that doesn't mean, listen, come, be fed. And it can be joyful. It should. It should be joyful. And you should find joy in serving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, thank you for that overwhelming response this morning. If you love your brother as yourself, love your neighbor as yourself, then it should be a joy to get to serve your brother and sister, whether it be in kids, nursery, whether it be through a camera, whether it be through media, whether it be on the worship team, whether it be a greeting somebody, whatever that may look like. It's you. The problem is you have misplaced your fire into something else, and I'm going to preach this right now. Your desire has become more about doing the thing rather than serving. And whenever it becomes, I gotta do this. That's whenever it becomes wearisome, when it becomes tiresome. But whenever we look at it with a different lens and say, I get to. Yeah. Now, Pastor Charles has had to check me on this before. I'll tell him myself too, because sometimes I'm like, oh, I gotta go do this. She said, no, we get to do this. I'm like, I know, get behind me, Satan. I mean, I love you, baby. Don't say that. We get to do this. I get to love my brother as myself. I get to love Michael as myself whenever I get to preach the word. I get to love people as I would love myself whenever I get to sit down and counsel people with holy counsel. That is showing love. It's misplaced fervor. It's misplaced fire, and we're placing our fire and our fervor more on what I've got to do versus I get to serve people. That's not in my notes. That was free this morning, okay? And I'm not going to get through any of this today, I don't think. All right, here we go. I got to keep going. The word of the Lord is that there's tension right now. 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. This is Paul's writing. You find Paul writing here, describing him and his companions and what they're enduring in their ministry, in what they're doing as unto the Lord. They're hard-pressed on every side, which means they were facing trouble on every direction as they were moving forward. However, despite the pressures they're feeling, they're not crushed. Listen, just because you're being pressed does not mean you are crushed. Just because you feel like there's a lot of tension going on, even personally, doesn't mean that you are shattering. It just means that something's about to break. And I'm ahead of myself, but I'm going to go and say this. Whenever you're feeling tension, this isn't in my notes, but you can write this down. When you're feeling tension, you are going to be faced with two decisions. You either break down or you break through. When you're facing tension, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to break down or you're going to break through. And the answer to that is found in what you're being fueled by. If you are fueled by your flesh, you will break down. If you're fueled by the Holy Spirit, listen, what's it say? It says that His grace is made perfect in our weakness. Grace is strength. So whenever I am fueled by the Spirit of God rather than my flesh, I receive grace, I receive strength, and that is something that empowers me to continue forward. Amen? Amen. Verse goes on to say they are perplexed, meaning they often don't understand situations they find themselves in. Has anybody ever, or does someone feel like right now you're in a situation that you don't even understand how you got in this situation? Anybody in the room be honest enough? Like, how in the world did this happen? How did I get to this point? That's what this scripture is talking about, that they're perplexed, meaning they don't know what's going on. But this is the thing. Even through that, they still trust God is at work. Can I tell you, you still trust God's at work? Amen? Look at somebody, tell them, God's
God's at work. There's tension. There's pressure. And all that is signs that breakthrough is coming. Now, there's holy tension and there's demonic tension. But hear me. Hear me. Even the pressure the enemy brings can be that which works for your good. Even demonic pressure. I'm going to show you in just a minute. When this jumped off the pages at me when I was studying, I about jumped off the couch, ran around the room, did a cartwheel, backflip. I don't even know how to do backflip, but the Holy Spirit was going to give me the power. Because this got me. Even demonic tension and demonic pressure can be used for your good. I'll show you this. The enemy's pressure tactics is to make you quit. Make you come up short. I want you to hear me. The enemy can't get rid of the beyond blessing God has for you. He has no power to take it from you. Stop giving power to the devil that isn't his. I'm going to say it again. Stop giving power to the enemy that he doesn't have. Scripture tells us, be not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. And I'm here today as a shepherd and a leader to tell you where the enemy is right now in your life. I said this to our youth on Wednesday night. I got the opportunity and honor to minister to them in our relationship series. And I said this, and I'm going to say it to you guys this morning too, that the word pastor means shepherd, if you study it out, right? Now, whenever a shepherd is concerned that a sheep, one of their sheep in the fold is in trouble, they don't just stand by and watch their sheep get taken advantage of, right? David examples this for us. Whenever the lion comes, whenever the bear comes, man, he goes, hunts those things out and kills them. Pow, 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 bam, you know? Okay, there you go. I heard it. But I want you to hear this. If right now, anybody got a dog in the room? We got a dog? We have a dog. We have two dogs. One of them I love. One of them I'm praying about still. The one I'm praying about still isn't my dog. It's... someone else's. Anyways, if my dog, does anybody else's dog do this? I'm going to get into a little business for a second. A little doo-doo business, okay? When my dog goes and uses the restroom, oftentimes he will look at you, right? Do you know that the reason that dogs do that is because they trust you to warn them if something's coming? That's legit. That's one of the reasons they will look at you while doing that. It's because they trust you. That's why Franklin doesn't look at me. No, he does. I'm playing. Listen. Now, if something were to start coming towards him while he is standing and looking at me, and I start running towards him to protect him, what's going to take place is he's going to get startled. Right? That's natural. I'm saying it to say this. Even whenever shepherd and sheep, okay? Yeah. If something that is coming to attack you, I want you to hear me. I'm going to run after that thing. But that doesn't mean it's not going to startle you. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're going, what? Because when I say startle, really for us, what it means for us people is I'm going to address some things, some demonic influence in your life or some worldly influence or fleshly influence. I'm going to address those things as a shepherd. And I want you to hear me. The reason I address these things is not because I want to hurt the sheep. But it's because I'm running after the wolf that you don't see. I'm running after the lion that's standing behind you ready to devour you. I'm going after the bear that's right behind you that you don't even see right now because you've been looking towards this way. You've been looking to Jesus. And sometimes we have what's called blind spots. Anybody got a blind spot in this room? If you don't, come meet with me. I'll show you three of them. We all have blind spots. I got blind spots. That's why we have accountability. That's why my wife can point them out. Like, nobody else, baby, that ain't, you ain't right there. Okay, yes, ma'am. And I'm the same for her. I can point them out. And then we have spiritual accountability, even in this room right now, that will hold us in check and say, hey, hold on. Pastor, do you really think that's going to be okay? Let's think about it this way. I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to be honest. When somebody points out a blind spot, does anybody just go, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad. You don't even do that when you drive. You go to merge lanes and there's somebody in your blind spot and you blame the person in your blind spot. Come on, why were you driving there? You should know. My dad, oh, I won't say that. We used to travel a lot, and let's just say I heard that sometimes. I'm saying this morning that I'm about to address some things. And it's not to go after you. It's because I love you and I see things that are attacking people personally in the church. And as the shepherd, I ain't gonna lie, allow it, baby. I've been saying this all week. I'm gonna kick the devil's butt. I'm ready to kick the devil's butt. I'm tired of the devil. Anybody else just tired of the devil? Stop giving power to the devil that isn't his. We're not gonna be ignorant, of the enemy's schemes. I'm gonna shout some things out this morning, okay? The enemy is so dumb that his scheme doesn't change. Even from the days of Jesus walking the earth, it hasn't changed. He's really dumb. And we think he's this all-wise person who can just can do all these things. He has no more power than what you give to him. The enemy doesn't make you jump in bed with somebody who isn't your spouse. The enemy does not make you go and do sinful acts. He offers a place of temptation. He does not make you. And I want you to hear me this morning and hear me good. You have power over every power of the enemy. You have power over temptation. You have power over your flesh. It's just a matter of if you are willing to submit yourself fully to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit's work be complete in you. I just can't help it, Pastor. Yes, you can. I'm going to say it like how I used to tell kids growing up. They tell me, I can't do that. Like, not with that attitude, you can't. All right. Let's read about Jesus. Y'all like Jesus? I like Jesus. Let's read about Jesus. I like him. He's a pretty cool guy. Before Jesus goes into his beyond ministry, I'm going to show you how dumb the devil is. He literally shows us his plans. Before Jesus goes into ministry and does any of the incredible things that we read about, where does he find himself? In the desert. For 40 days and 40 nights, he finds himself in the desert. Anybody feel like they're in a desert season, a dry season, a desolate season, a hungry season, a thirsting season? Just, you need something to break through and change. Jesus is found here in Matthew 4, verse 2. We're going to read this morning. I got quite a bit of scripture here to read. So y'all just stay with me for just a minute, if you will. And I can go and tell you, we're going to carry this message into next week. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. I would be too. I'm hungry after 3 days of fasting. I'm hungry after 12 hours of fasting. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, which by the way is the enemy, the tempter, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, this is Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge of you. Stop right there for a second. And in their hands, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Look at this just for 1 second, right there in verse 7. Go back. Or verse 6, I'm sorry. What's interesting is that the enemy is contorting the word of God to tempt Jesus. The word made flesh. How dumb do you have to be to try to use the words of the word made flesh against the word made flesh? See, I'll come back to this. Here we go. Verse 7. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 8. Again, the devil took him up exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written." In other words, get gone, Satan. Huh? He kicked him in the butt right there. "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." This is what happened. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came. Angels came and ministered to him. And the very next thing you'll see if you keep reading your Bible is Jesus now gets launched into his full-time ministry. After this season, 40 days and 40 nights being in the desert, and then to the place where he is tempted, where there's a tension that takes place, where Jesus could have broke down or broke through, he decides to break through. And he uses the word of God to break through to the other side and be launched into his ministry, therefore going the next 3 years and ministering, lay hands on the sick, seeing them recover, and so on, all the way to the cross, winning the war for us right there, raised to life on the third day, now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. That's what Jesus did after that. But he had to go through this before getting to the beyond. There was a season of temptation before getting to the beyond. See, he was the Word made flesh. He was fully God and fully man. That's why it says he was hungry. And that's why the Lord had to send angels to minister to him, is because the fully flesh portion of him needed the angelic visitation and needed the help in that moment. In other words, he needed the grace, the power in that moment. It all came after, though, the breakthrough all came after a tension, a tempting, and a word of deception. The goal of the enemy is to apply enough pressure to make you give up, to make you quit before you experience breakthrough. Write this down. The enemy has no power to steal or stop the plan of God on your life. You need to remember that. You need to put it somewhere that you'll see it often. The enemy has no power to steal or stop the plan of God on your life. Amen? Amen. He can't stop the plan of God. And he will try to do everything to discourage you to abandon your pursuit of the beyond, though. He'll even use the word in a twisted way, like we saw there. He will twist and contort the word and make you believe things about the word that are not true. In other words, I'm going to say like this. What the enemy tried to do in that moment was sway Jesus with a word of doctrine that was not correct. It was the doctrine of demons at that point. It was a twisted, and the enemy will take and pluck out scripture out of context, out of order, and just straight up wrong to try to get you to justify your sin. That's why before you take the next step, you need to go read your word. That's why you have to submit yourself fully to him and all your ways acknowledge him, and then he makes your path straight, even as we were talking about earlier in worship. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. What is truth? Truth is the Word of God. So we have to know the Word in order to be led by the Spirit of truth that leads us to all truth. You won't be led to the truth if you don't know the truth. See, sometimes the truth's just in the dark in our minds. Sometimes the truth is kind of in a corner somewhere. And we need the Holy Spirit to remind us in that moment. Hey, that's not right. That's out of line. That's not in full alignment with the Word of God. Amen? The enemy will do. Listen, if the enemy will do that to Jesus, he'll do it to you as well. He'll do it to his seed. The enemy tries to get you to give up, to throw in the towel. But I'm telling you, don't give up during the temptation. Don't give up during the tension. Don't give up during the hunger. Don't give up. Keep going. There is more in store for you this morning. Amen? The enemy will use adversity to make you doubt, to make you weary, to make you quit. But I want to give you a proclamation this morning in Scripture that says in Luke 10:19, see, maybe the enemy's yelling in your ear right now, you need to give up. You need to quit. You're not going to make it.
You can respond like Jesus. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And devil, it goes on to say, and over all the power of the enemy. I said over all the power of the enemy. Every single power of the enemy. And nothing will harm you. Maybe you need to look at Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon. It is written, devil. No weapon formed against you. How many weapons? One, two, three, none. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue, every person who says something that is contrary, everybody who tries to land blast me and cut me down, I'm telling you, if it rises against me in judgment, you're coming down, you shall condemn. This is the heritage. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is for me, says the Lord. It is an inheritance that we get to speak the truth and see the truth prevail. The question is, will you press through the tension? Will you press through the tension? James 1, 2 and 4. I'm going to try to speed through this. Y'all stay with me. Consider it pure joy, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Stay with me for a second. Whenever metal is being bent into the certain form that it needs to be bent into, when it's being forged in the fire, it's the process of refining metal that involves intense heat and pressure to burn away impurities, making the metal stronger and more valuable. And while the metal is under the extreme heat, it seems and may look like it's being destroyed, but in truth, it's being perfected. Some of the tension and the pressure you're going through, it may look and feel like you're being broken, but I'm here to remind you today that God is perfecting you, that he's conforming you into his image. He is perfectly conforming you into the image of Christ and what he has for you. Many don't get to the beyond point, though, because listen to this. They refuse to mature. Many miss the fullness of what God has for them because of maturity issues. Maturing means letting your faith be tested or pressure, so it can create perseverance that leads to maturity. James 1, 2, and 4. We just saw that in that text. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and that perseverance needs to finish its work so you may be mature and complete, is what Scripture says. Whenever we throw in the towel because we're under pressure, or we're having to exercise our faith, when we do that, it's maturing us. Whenever we actually do embrace those things, it's maturing us. But whenever we refuse those things, we miss what God wants to do in our life. We don't become into the image in the Christ bearer that we're called to be. Many give up in the test or the tension, so we never see the completion because we refuse to persevere. We just give up. Can I tell you, you got to see everything God has for that you're going through, and you got to have some tenacity. You got to have some spiritual grit and natural grit. I'm not talking about the unhealthy kind that's rubbed some dirt on it. We don't care about what you're feeling, what you're going through. I'm not talking about that. That's unhealthy. That's not even what God examples. Because he says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. Like, obviously, God shows empathy and compassion. Jesus also shows it when we're walking the earth. So to just say, oh, I'll rub some dirt on it, it's not compassionate. It's not the ways of Jesus. However, the balance of that is, I believe, as a society, many of us have gotten to a point whenever the tough gets going, the going don't get tough. They give up. When difficult seasons happen, when difficult things start coming into play, when tension starts happening, we don't embrace tension and push through. We just say, must not be it.
because obviously God just wants to make everything easy for me. So many scriptural problems I have with this, with that viewpoint and that thought process. Jesus tells us in this world you have trials, tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. He doesn't say that the trials and tribulations don't happen. He just says choose joy in the midst of trials and tribulations. Choose joy knowing that you will overcome and you'll endure. In other words, choose to know that you're going to break through the tension. Glory. Choose to know that you're going to break through to the other side. That's what Jesus is really telling us. I can give you numerous stories through the Bible of people who had to embrace tension and have some grit and some tenacity to see what God has for them. Because if they would have just done what they wanted, it would have happened a lot differently. We have a society that loves, was it the Backstreet Boys that sang this? I want it that way. We have an I want it that way society. That is Burger King, have it your way, fast food, everything's got to be my way or the highway, and if I don't like it, I'll go somewhere else. We don't understand covenant anymore. We don't understand actually enduring through hardship and trials and situations. We don't understand actually going and communicating and talking about issues and problems. We just go, when something gets tough, deuces, I'm out. And I'm telling you, you would have not lasted a second in the Bible. And I'm going to say this because I feel like I need to balance it, because some of y'all are like, man, pastor's a hard case. No, man, we are full of compassion, mercy, and empathy. However, we also realize sometimes things are difficult. Sometimes, and I could give personal testimony. Sometimes there's some pushing you have to do. There's some pressing. We could just talk about childbirth. It's not, baby's here. It's, ah! I've been in the room 3 times. I know what it's like. I watched life happen. And Pastor Chelsea had our last two naturally, no medicine or anything. It was just, there's a long story to it, but bottom line is the doctors thought she wasn't in labor both times, even though they were like, we know the tension that's happening. Breakthrough is imminent. Go home. I'm like, okay. Went home. Anyways, long stories. Don't have time for it. Both times, both Gideon and Reagan came to so quickly that she wasn't able to get medicine. And it was, I think it was Reagan. She looked over and goes, okay. Now she had, I'm not going to lie, she had some supernatural childbirth, like no, not severe pain or anything like that until it was time to push. And even that was quick. She looked over at us and said, all right, I'm going to scream now. At least she gave us a heads up. We didn't have the nice headphones y'all have in this church, though. She just looked over. Baby, there it is. I say that to say, if we gave up in the natural on everything, as easy as we give up on things in the spirit, can you imagine how much life would not be in the room? There's something God's doing inside you. There's a travailing that's taking place. There's a pushing that's happening. Even these messages, I'm telling you, and we're sensing it in the spirit that there is something, there is a tension, there's a, I mean, that's the only way I know to describe it, is there is a tension that we're feeling, a pressure that is happening. And I'm telling you, when the pressure breaks, you better hold on to something. And I'm telling you, listen to me, you will either miss it or you will go to it according to how you respond. You give up, you miss it. You press through, you'll receive it. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. That was tension for her. What are they going to say? Are people going to yell unclean, unclean at me? I'm going to press through anyways. I'm going to push through the tension. Because that was needed for her breakthrough. Spiritual perseverance will create maturity. I'm going to end right here. Travis, come play. Some people are just too selfish, though, and you miss it. Some people, we get too selfish, and we get this me mentality. Everything's about me, what I want. And I'm telling you, if it's always what you want, you will miss it every time. Because that's not maturity. Just in general, that's not maturity. Spiritual perseverance will create maturity. God uses adversity and tension in our lives. He turns all things around for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, what Scripture says. Now, I don't have time to finish this morning. Come back next week, we'll finish it, and I might be able to tag on the other message onto it. But listen, the pressure that you're facing now is not meant to destroy you, but to refine you, to build the perseverance that leads to spiritual maturity. You're being shaped for something greater, something beyond what you've experienced. I want you to hear this, write this down. Tension is crucial to breakthrough. Tension is crucial. I'm going to give you one more thing to write down, and then we're going to stand and pray together. There is no breakthrough without breaking. There is no breaking without tension. There is no tension without pressure. And there is no pressure without adversity. All these things are leading to the next step. Your adversity you're facing is leading to the pressure that you're feeling. The pressure you're feeling is leading to that tension that you're feeling. That tension that you're feeling, yeah, that's going to lead to the breaking. And when it breaks, you're breaking through to the other side. How many say, Pastor, today I want to break. The old song, break on through to the other side. I want to break through to what God has for me. There's a beyond blessing that God has for everyone in this room. I believe that happens personally, that happens corporately. And I believe this message today is a call for you to grab hold again of the promise of God and to continue to push through and say, I'm not giving up. Every devil in hell can unleash everything it's a God against me, but I'm telling you, I will rise again. I will rise up again. I'll call on some people if I need them. I'll call people to pray for me. I'll call people to help me. I'll do whatever I gotta do to make sure that I don't miss the blessing of God. If that's you this morning, you don't want to miss the blessing of God. I want you to stand to your feet this morning, and I want us to pray together. When you stand, will you lift your hands with me today and let us pray? Father God, I thank you right now for what you're doing in this church. I thank you, God, for the beyond blessings that you have. You're doing exceedingly abundantly above everything that we could dare ask or think or even imagine up according to your power that's at work within us today. So Lord, even as your power is at work within us, even as we're feeling the tension, even as we're feeling all these things that are happening even personally and corporately, I ask now, Holy Ghost, we say, Holy Ghost, break through today on our behalf. We say, Holy Spirit, here we are, Father. Empower us, embolden us, and strengthen us. I think that the righteous are as bold as a lion. Lord, we won't grow weary in well-doing, but we will reap in the season that is to come if we faint not. So Father, we thank you right now. We'll learn how to tarry in the presence of God. Lord, we'll travail. We'll push through. We'll break on through all the way to everything that you have for us. Lord, we're not giving up. Lord, we're not throwing in the towel. We serve an eviction notice to the devil and every demonic principality and power. We break down the spirit of division. We break down the spirit of weariness. We break down the spirit of loneliness. We break down the spirit of divorce. We break down the spirit of anything that is trying to rise against what you are doing, God. And we say, God, have your way. Tear down principalities. Tear down powers. And we are going through and breaking through into everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, will you give God a hand clap and a shout? Amen. Hallelujah.